Why this weekend is a big look into why teams will soon be getting booted from the SEC and the Big Ten.
Watershed moments in college football. What does it all mean? And the cable model dying? What does that mean?
It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Yeah, I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend. I gotta admit, I'm pretty disappointed in you.
Why is that?
Twix.
The look on his face, Anthony.
Twix.
So do you think that's an inferior candy bar and not worthy?
No, I don't think it's an
barely working
inferior candy. I don't think
give
it's
give her
an,
the old Lima Jiggle.
Oh my God!
All right, here we go.
Nope, didn't
Testing.
Work.
1, 2, 3,
there
and a
is.
1, 2, 3,
there
and a 1, 2.
You just sponsored it.
It's not that I think it's an inferior candy bar. It's that it's not shareable.
Well, I could have given you one bar and I get the other bar, but I wasn't going to do that because I spent my hard-earned money on that and I really wanted it.
Okay.
I got really excited to go down there and get that Twix today. And you know me, I do not do a candy bar a day.
I get you things all the time.
You do?
It's starting to turn into a candy bar a day. I'm starting to turn into that.
Oh, boy.
I'm starting to turn into that.
Oh,
I've noticed.
Oh, boy.
Shouldn't have told him that because now he's conscious of it. Yeah, I wanted him to turn into
a fat
in front of me.
That'll be the end of that.
Also, somebody in the other studio, like, pulled up the blinds to look in there, and now one of the blinds is still askew.
No.
And so I'm bothered by it, and you guys are going to have to talk while I go
fix
it.
Me and my wife.
I have to go fix it. Go ahead.
Goodbye. My wife?
How do you just leave the pen?
All right.
Your
mic's screwed back up again.
As we are driving down my road in Bay Village,
yep.
There is one home. As we gawk at other people's houses,
of course,
there is one home where their shades are pulled up 3/4 of the way, but are cattywampus.
Oh, God, no.
And it's every day.
And they don't fix it?
And they don't fix it. And my wife said, are you going to tell them maybe? Like, she knows I'm...
I text my neighbors.
Well, she knows I'm pretty good...
I'll text my neighbors then.
...at just being able to talk to people...
Fix your blinds.
...normally without seeming like it's a threat or something like that. Like, she thinks I'm pretty good with those awkward situations.
Them?
No, she said...
You are one of the best passive-aggressive people that I've ever met in my life.
You are amazing.
I think that's a compliment.
Until the other day when you were pretty overly aggressive on the air.
Aggressive.
About the youth football stuff. I was so upset with you.
I was at home walking around my basement.
Yelling about youth football.
And now I'm eating with food in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's where the food goes in your mouth.
The downward spiral of Anthony.
I'm eating with food between my toes. It's amazing.
I'm osmosising this Twix.
I can't believe you're eating on the air. Look, listen to you.
I have to finish
what
the Twix.
What has happened?
Well, you were so disappointed at the Twix bar.
I am. I still am.
So I'm trying to remove all the evidence.
Because you bring things that are shareable, and this isn't shareable. And then you're like, basically, you're like, F you, I don't care.
Mitch, label this an ASMR podcast from now on.
Yeah. One final note before we get to the nitty gritty. And the meat and potatoes.
Nice. We got that coming in, too.
Mitch, label this a BDSM podcast.
Who has the you are a badass page a day calendar.
I don't know.
This Stevie? Is it Jen?
It's from 2 years ago.
Is it Tim? First of all,
sounds like a bad Christmas gift.
It is from Tuesday, October 18th. Yeah, like right there at the bookstore, mm-hmm. right there at the cash register. Mm-hmm. Pick up your page a day. Might not even be that year.
I need to be told I'm a badass.
Yeah, well, here, would you like to hear
That's real office jargon stuff.
Would you like to hear the aphorism today?
Give me the aphorism.
Rich, R-I-C-H.
Yep.
: able to afford all the things and experiences required to fully experience your most authentic life.
That's terrible.
I can't stand
what
people.
What a waste of paper.
I can't stand people talking about living their best life, living their authentic life. I see it a lot of times on the reality shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Everybody's so obsessed with their journey and making sure, like Jesse,
the Body Ventura,
who's a former football player, Jesse Palmer hosts a show, and it's funny because you and I both know that Jesse Palmer, when he was the star football player and head guy on campus, right, was not talking to women the way he's talking to them now.
No.
And he's sitting there with whoever the Bachelorette is at the time, and now we've got the Golden Bachelorette, which debuted last night, and he's telling them, you deserve, like on the first episode.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. It's the Golden Bachelorette.
Okay,
now.
But what does the old Jesse Palmer have to do with the way he's talking to him?
Because there's no way that on the first day of filming, he's saying, well, Jen, who was the Bachelorette last time, or last night's Golden Bachelorette, you deserve to have somebody. It's like, you just met this person. They just became, because the network execs thought this individual would get higher ratings, then now they deserve somebody that you've never even gotten to know. Jesse, you don't know this woman. Why do they deserve anything? They might be a terrible person in real life. So I guess if you're just under the impression that all people, whether they're good or bad, deserve the best. How do you know? How do you know this person's not a piece of garbage?
You don't know that, but I think it's right to assume the best from people.
And
so until you find out more, then you say they don't deserve it.
This is why I've called you before very gullible. I've called you naive.
I have been taken in by charlatans before. It's actually I've never been in like a Ponzi scheme or anything like that, but I have been taken in by a charlatan before.
I think
it costs me no money.
I'm jealous that you can look at people and see the good in them. Given my past experiences, I skew to seeing only the bad in people.
He sees through all of it. But that's what also makes you dangerous, because you convince people that I'm a bad person. I'm not a bad guy, you piece of trash.
Yeah, there you go.
We do have to talk about the Browns a little bit. There was the news, the pleading of no contest by Mike Hall Jr., which several people asked, well, what's the NFL status now? Guys, I don't know what the NFL status is. The only thing that I would think about it is, you know, during the pre-draft process, there were a lot of questions being asked, and I'm a bit surprised, and maybe this makes me naive, speaking of that, is that there were a lot of people in town who you would ask, and none of them had anything negative to say about Mike Hall. Not a single person. And so when he got arrested, it was so many teams were wondering. Well, nobody said anything like that to me.
It went right back to the NFL stuff around
nobody said anything.
The draft,
yeah. And I think, because he's a second-round pick, I wonder what the NFL is going to do here. Do they keep him on it even after this to send a message?
All right, let's talk about what the NFL wants.
You can do whatever you want if you're the commissioner.
And he gets paid.
Yes.
While he's on the exempt list. So the NFL has tried to improve upon this system now for the better part of how many years? The Ray Rice thing is the one thing that the NFL was getting such negative attention once that video came out, that the NFL had to, quote, take it seriously. The reason I use quotes is, we don't really know if the NFL cares about any of this stuff beyond making sure
the public they knows stay they out. Care. They thinks stay, they care.
Yes, that the public thinks they care enough. And so I'm sure Roger Goodell doesn't want a bunch of his players getting in, you know, disorderly conduct, domestic disputes with their significant others. Because, yeah, I'm sure Roger Goodell is not just this evil person who doesn't care about anybody. But in reality, for the other owners in the league and for the ratings and for the television partners, optics, like any corporation these days, unfortunately, sometimes matters more than everything else. Because Roger Goodell knows that whether or not Mike Hall is in the NFL or not, whether or not Ray Rice was in the league or not, fans are going to watch football. It's the one sport that's even superstar proof. Meaning, if Patrick Mahomes were to be injured for the year tomorrow, are ratings going to take that much of a dip? Maybe the Kansas City games, but in general, no. By the end of the year, the NFL ratings will be fine. The playoffs will be fine. The Super Bowl will be fine. So does Roger Goodell really care if Mike Hall has a fair opportunity to be on the Cleveland Browns?
No.
Probably not. So just don't make us look bad.
I think the NFL cares. I think they do care about it to a point of where the league or the players union will let them take it. If they had complete autonomy over, like NASCAR has complete autonomy over everything that they do, because there is no drivers union. They own it. The France family owns that organization, so they can do anything they want. And that's what makes it a very, I pay attention to auto racing. It makes it a very frustrating ordeal for some teams and some owners and so on and so forth, because just like the NFL in one way, that there are owners who are more powerful than other owners. But when it comes to the NFL, like we always talk about equal share. No, there's owners who have been around longer, who have made the league more money than some of the other ones, because they do try to generate revenue for the entire league and come up with ideas for the entire league. That's not just making money for them, but also making money for the entire league. Like, that's part of the partnership of being an NFL owner. That all put there is, they, if they had it their way, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of owners would just go, no, this is a privilege to play in this league. If you can't do it, to hell with it. That's it. I think, and I do believe that a lot of owners would do that. I think that a lot of owners were like, if you were to ban, if some guy got in trouble for domestic violence, for reckless driving, trying to race on the highway, things like that, I think a lot of guys, I think a lot of owners, I'm serious about this. I know we're like, they want to win. They want to win no matter what. No, they want to win, but they want to make money, and they don't want to deal with any of this stuff. And I think a lot of owners feel that they can just find other football players to play their game, and they will keep players out. Case in point, look how many players that we've always talked about being blackballed from the NFL or from other leagues. They can do that if they would do that if they could. They can't, because there is a players union and it's collectively bargained, and they don't want to get into the public eye of all this stuff. And also, it's definitely a bad look. So I think what the NFL may do, or what Roger Goodell may do in this case, you know, there's things that they know that you and I do not. I think that there may be a solution coming up soon, but I haven't heard of any of it. I haven't heard of any date, I should say. But he could keep them on there as long as he wants, depending on what they know of the severity of this sense of this instance, because he's pleaded no contest. And so no contest is from not guilty. No contest is from charges dropped. It becomes disorderly conduct. All right, what does disorderly conduct mean to Roger Goodell, the league office, and certainly to the players' union? So these are things that are going to have to be discussed over time. But it would seem that we finally have a road to get on to end this. But again, the more important thing, obviously, is he is a local guy. Even if he weren't a local guy, but there's plenty of people who care about him here, is that you need to find some sort of an arrangement with this woman. We know about some incident that might have happened in Columbus, where apparently she attacked him.
Yep.
Some peaceful resolution of this needs to come between these two people, because you have two small children that are involved here. You have whatever she does in her career. I don't know her, obviously. Certainly, I know of him and his career with the Cleveland Browns and have met him. There's a lot that's at stake here, so they need to take care of each other. And if that means separating from each other permanently, then that should be part of it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think it should be under consideration. But those are just my opinions. I can't get inside their counseling together as a couple.
Do you think the Browns, who have, like many teams, have taken a lot of chances? We've brought up in the past Perry and Winfrey, and the list goes on. Who's the offensive lineman that got...
Craig Robinson. A lot of weed.
Yeah, a lot of weed. They're like the most weed of all time. So they've taken a number...
I think he broke Nate Newton's record,
which is tough to do, and they had Guinness Book of World Records actually there at the time to validate it.
Yeah.
So they've obviously shown a proclivity to taking chances on guys. As a Browns fan, like Kenny, me and you, we're just talk show hosts, so I don't. Our opinion, I know people look for our opinions on this, but I think it's actually not our opinions on this that matter. I actually think it's the average fan. Is the average fan sick and tired of having to defend their players from people on the internet, or Steeler fans now who've turned it around? It used to be us making fun of the Steelers over Big Ben. Do you think that there's enough?
The average fan still, yes. I still think it's turning, though, to where it's like, hey, you either play on Sunday or you don't play on Sunday. I can't be responsible for your actions.
And I can't defend you
if I don't know you.
Do you think the Browns will continue going down the path of, we don't care, we don't care what the book is on you, the quote book?
Will they make the playoffs this year?
I don't know. I mean, I hope
if they make the playoffs, then they will continue. If they don't, then things will change. Winning cures a lot of things. Like, look at Hassan Reddick's situation. So many people are going, oh my goodness, how could this be with the Jets? And there's plenty of people in Philadelphia going, man, that guy was nuts from the get-go.
Yep.
He's about himself. He's about himself and his money, and that's the Jets' problem now. Well, none of us knew that on the outside because the Eagles were just winning. So winning fixes right. everything.
It does.
So well, if you're winning,
well, what I've always
people
wondered,
look past these sort of things.
Maybe we won't find out until people don't have the same jobs they have now. I will always wonder, and I'd be fascinated to talk to, and we know who the big wigs are with the Cleveland Browns. 10 years from now, when you brought on Deshaun Watson with all those allegations, did you lose business partners? Did you really lose season ticket holders? Did you have some community, some groups in town that decided to turn their back on the Browns because they felt like you turned your back on them? I will always wonder that because they're never going to tell us now, and there's no database to look that up. But I wonder how different it's been selling corporate sponsorships since they brought Deshaun in, because we feel it all the time. We have friends, we have family members, we have people online that tell us a certain thing about the Browns, that they don't look at them the same way after bringing in Watson. Me and you, we have to talk about the players that are on the field. So I feel like, yeah, morality-wise, and still to this day, not specifically knowing what happened,
yeah,
we are going to talk about the guys that are on the team that are available.
Yeah,
like, regardless of what they've done. And we want the Browns to do well. We want the city to flourish. We want, you know, extra opportunities that could avail themselves with a winning football team. All that stuff is good for the community. I will always wonder how big of a risk bringing in Watson truly was. Maybe it wasn't at all. Maybe they didn't lose one season ticket holder. Maybe they didn't lose one sponsorship. I've heard differently, but I don't know for a fact, and I'll always wonder that.
Yeah, not sure. So, yeah, that's the situation with Mike Hall, and you know, we'll figure it out as time goes on. So that's that on that part. With the Ohio State situation we got into yesterday, which ended up being a really good thing. First off, do you believe that Texas should be number one?
Boy, I feel very confident right now in Texas in their placement at number one. Okay. I don't really have a problem with it.
Do you believe Arch Manning should yeah, is going is to the finish the year as the starting quarterback? I think they will go back to Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, they will.
Ewers.
They will, and I think they should go back to Quinn, but damn it, that was a fun performance.
It was amazing. It was a hell of a performance there. The reason I bring that up is this weekend, I think, is set to be some fun with the major two college program or major two college conferences. I know it's a P4, but really, in a lot of ways, it's a P2. And the major two, I don't know what to call them to separate them from the P4. If someone can find a term for the Big Ten and the SEC, let me know. But you have this spot, and I think this weekend is what should wake up college football fans who are not Ohio State fans. Directly at me. Not Ohio State, Michigan fans. Anybody who knows anybody, like if you live in Chicago and you listen to this, I was so blown away. I should know because it's still stereotypical because like the Big Ten headquarters are in Chicago. Actually, I think Rosemont, but either way.
Yeah.
When I was in Chicago with you, I saw probably 7 different sweatshirts. It was like a show, or like a movie of different Big Ten schools. Illinois, Ohio State, Northwestern was represented. Michigan was represented. Michigan State. Like there was people just walking down the street and they were wearing like different things. Like it is a melting pot there. I think that this weekend goes to show you just how things are going to change for some of these other programs. Because I watched the Kent State Tennessee game, and I saw I couldn't believe what I was seeing because I turned away for a second. It was 30-0. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it.
And Kent State turned down the running clock. By the way, in the second half,
I couldn't turn away because I'm like, I was like,
how bad could it get?
The last time a team scored 100 points, I looked it up during the game, was 2003.
And
I
know, it could have.
And it wasn't made. I don't think it was major college football either. I think it was like D3.
Tennessee could have scored 100 if they wanted to.
Could they get? I was like, Josh Heupel's not going to run up to 100. He could very well run up to 100 by accident. I was like, oh my God, like they could score 100 points. They could score into the 80s. And I'm going, nah, they're not. They stopped at 71. 71's enough. Which, isn't that amazing that Texas A&M still lost 77-0 at one point to Oklahoma? But I'm watching that crowd, and that crowd is just feverish. And that some people can explain that's the reason why they're going to add on a 10% fee into the 4.5% ticket price raising for 2025 for volunteer tickets, because they have their first back to back 10-win seasons since Phil Fulmer, I think. That all said, what these teams are chasing, this is the business side of it. Because me as a competitor, I go, hey, man, you don't need those tough out-of-conference games. Your conference is tough enough as it is. It goes, no. You as an AD, you want to make that money. And this week is going to show you just what it is, because Tennessee is going to Oklahoma. Now, Tennessee, they're on the rise, so they don't have to worry about it. Oklahoma has a standard where apparently it has been, hey, man, there's been a couple of thinned sections against some of these out-of-conference games or some of these early-season games. So let's join the SEC, because now you're going to have an atmosphere. And I think what one of the people were concerned about, listening to some people from down in Oklahoma, was it was also where not just an out-of-conference, but also Big 12 games. Oklahoma versus Baylor, when Baylor's really down, which has been most of the time, you're still going to have some empty sections. So you know what? Here comes Tennessee.
Look at this schedule for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They got Tennessee. Now Auburn is, you know, not the typical Auburn. Then Texas.
Yeah.
Then South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, ranked number 5 in the country. They have Maine after that. And then Mizzou, top 10. Yep. Alabama, 4th. Yep. LSU.
Yeah.
Like, what in the world?
And so what they're doing...
Sounds like it's ass-beating time, all right?
So either way, home or away, you're making that money. You are going to make money. There's going to be more pressure on Brent Venables. By the way, I already got my tweet ready for Saturday if Brent Venables starts getting hammered, because I think they're going to get smashed.
My friends who have a certain stance on some things, but most of them are Sooners fans. They have had their BV, as they call him, tweets lined up and ready to go. They were locked and loaded last week and ready to let it go.
Yep, yeah. I don't blame them. It has not been a good start. It's been an auspicious beginning.
This week only intensifies because Josh Heupel,
the man coming back that home,
won us a national championship.
Wasn't it an acrimonious ending there too with him as an assistant?
Yes, because it was basically Heupel or Lincoln Riley, and look where Lincoln's at now.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. But you have this atmosphere that's going to be incredible at Memorial Stadium, right?
Gaylord Family, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium.
Thank you. There's going to be an incredible atmosphere.
Palace on the Prairie, as they call it, Ken.
And then also on Saturday, the 3:30 game, there's a 3:30 game where there's going to be USC at Michigan,
which I'll be 5 miles down the road doing a football game.
And then next week, doesn't Ohio State visit Oregon?
Yeah.
So if you're Oregon, would you rather have Cal or would you rather have Ohio State?
Yeah.
End of sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads me to believe these teams that are in the Big Ten really firmly believe and give it to everyone. I've been saying this and banning this about for a while. Some of these other Big Ten schools, you better watch out. You're going to go. And I know that Indiana has great basketball. I don't think that's going to matter to some of these Big Ten, to the Big Ten. I don't know. Like, the Big 12 wants to be the college basketball conference. You go, you be the college basketball conference. Enjoy your tournament and enjoy your one shining moment. They want to kick ass every single week. I think that teams like Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, I think that they are in the mix. I really do. Maryland, I think, is in the mix.
Indiana.
Rutgers probably never, because of the TV market. They would never let it happen. But my God, Tone, I think that these schools that do not pack it in every single week, they're going to go, why am I doing this when we could have USC in town every other year? Or Penn State can now play some of the used to be cross division rivals now every single year, off and on, home and away.
Indiana has scored 160 points in 3 games, is 3-0, and their coach is telling people, check my resume if you don't buy into what I'm doing.
He's
I love it right now.
Kurt Cignetti is great.
And you know who their quarterback is from Ohio University.
It's the Canadian.
One of the famous Rourke brothers.
They're both Canadian, and he's one of the fabulous flying Rourkes.
Yep.
And because I think one of the things that was mentioned was like, why didn't Michigan take a look at this kid?
Right.
Because he
looks better than anything Michigan has right now.
That's the pressure. See, Indiana, I'm glad you brought this up. Indiana is trying to respond to the pressure. Because before, it's like, we have Assembly Hall, and it's really, really nice, and it's historic. And their football stadium, have you ever been to their football stadium?
I have
too. there was a time it was just like, this is a Big Ten football stadium, yep. huh? Okay. It was just one big side, one other side, kind of just there. And that's what it was. Like, you go to Ohio Stadium, it's really effing nice. It is nice. Michigan Stadium now, really, really effing nice. Before, it was a little bit whatever. Yeah. Now, if you're gonna take our money and get that revenue, you're gonna play with the big boys. You're gonna invest. Mizzou, do you see what they're doing with their stadium? $250 million investment. They're basically gonna bowl it off at Mizzou at Faurot Field. I think it's what it's
Faurot
called.
Faurot Field. Yes.
Yep. They're gonna do that. You have to invest, and you have to show them on paper you are serious about your football program. I'm telling you, they're gonna boot your ass out. They're not going to let you share that revenue. This is going. You see this Florida State stuff that's going on where they're trying to get out of it?
Oh, yeah.
These other schools don't want them coming in there, and they're not going to give them the fair share because they're already got too many mouths to feed. Okay, well, one day, Florida State and Clemson's going to get out of there, and I don't think they're just going to add on either the Big Ten or the SEC. I think some school might get the boot going, you have not fulfilled your end of the bargain. Goodbye. Like Arkansas is crazy, but I'm using them as an example. They have not been... It's a bad example because I think they're willing to do what's necessary. At least in basketball they are. But this is where I'm giving the example here. If they cannot show that they've made that type of investment in their football program, the SEC may say, you are Little Rock, you are Fayetteville, enjoy the Big 12. You want to get John Calipari? They're the basketball conference. Bye-bye.
Well,
and then you can go compete for a Big 12 championship in college football. It's just an example. I know you live there, Owen. It's just an example of it. That's the way I think they might see it.
Well, the whole reason that forever the Big 10 deal has worked out for all these Big 10 schools is because of the television deal. Well, the television deal was supported by the cable subscription service, like the Big 10 Network, and their ability to get on in every one of those states was how this whole thing was supported over the last 20 years. And now the cable model is falling by the wayside. So that is what I think is in jeopardy to these programs like Rutgers. Like, the whole point of getting Rutgers in Maryland was adding those television markets.
East Coast, yeah.
And getting those, it wasn't just to appeal to fans.
Right.
They didn't care about the fans. They cared about the ability to get the Big Ten Network on all those cable providers.
Yeah.
Some of the mom and pops, but some of the big boys like Comcast, they needed to get onto those.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the cable subscription model is falling by the wayside. I mean, it's like half the amount of people are watching cable today than were watching like 10 years ago. And there's going to be even more of a precipitous drop in that. So will the Big Ten care nearly as much in that way? Or is it just going to simply be about these amazing network deals that they have with now NBC, with Fox? Where else are they? I mean, are they still on ABC? They're not on ESPN anymore.
College football?
The Big Ten. Yeah.
Oh, no, so they're done. No.
So that's what I mean. They want to continue.
That's over. It's Fox and CBS now.
And NBC.
Oh, and NBC, sorry.
So is
Peacock, really.
Is that the only thing that's going to matter to the Big Ten going forward? And if that's the case, that should make Rutgers very nervous. I mean, Think about the whole point of Rutgers was making sure to get those households.
Yeah. That's why I do think that there will be regulation someday. I think that the Big Ten, I told you this yesterday on the show, the Big Ten and the SEC, I think will eventually reach a point where, and I don't know, maybe it's economics, where you're tapped out. The major networks are tapped out. They can no longer commit anymore. And that's where I think there will finally be a split. They will commit their money to the SEC and the Big Ten, and they will come together as one, still be separately named, but come together as one, and then everybody else will play for something separate, and you will see a reduced rate. And then I think that we will start to come back to geographically aligning. Like, I think Cal has a big, long contract with the ACC, and the ACC makes you sign something that basically signs you in blood. But I think the moment that ends, once that contract's up, that they will go back to something kind of like the Pac-12 is right now, where they're adding on schools. Same thing can be said, I think, for Stanford. And I think that we'll probably go back to some of the traditional stuff that we were, just at a lower level. And they'll play for something different, because they're going to continue to ask for more money. And at some point, we will be out of cash. And we are out of time, because I got to take a look at that. Goodbye.